had been there a year and a half after leaving Scranton, and church called me back to come back here to be the second pastor. And I remember coming up, and in October of 1978, becoming pastor here, the head coach here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And I remember at that time, I put on the church's letterhead this scripture, Matthew 16:18. It says, Christ says, upon this rock I will build my church. And he was speaking of Peter's confession of Christ as the Son of the living God, the Savior. Upon this rock I will build my church. And we have taken the theme, building lives on solid foundations, for this building, this church. And I think of a guy by the name of Bob Gray, senior pastor. I know Jose Valley and Jesse went to see him preach this past week. Was it on Monday? I think he went on a Monday up in New York State. Maybe one of the last times he's preaching here. You know, it was good that you were there. Who knows? But Bob Gray, he said, and I heard him say, when he was a kid, his dad was a builder, and his job was just to bring the wood. He would get a wagon and fill it full of lumber, and he would wheel the lumber over to where his dad was working. And his dad would take the boards, and he would go like that. And if it was crooked or something he didn't like, he would throw it out. But if it was a straightened up board, one he liked, he would use it and nail it into the house. And Bob just kept bringing the wood. And I'm thinking about our theme, building lives on solid foundation. I'm thinking about in the Bible, in 1 Chronicles here, David was given a covenant promise by God that he would have his children and his descendant be the king of the world forever. And David, God said, I'll not take away the throne from your family like I did from Saul. And David was really thankful for that, and he was going to build a house for God. And God said, no, you've shed a lot of blood. That's not going to be what I want you to do. I'm going to have your son, Solomon, build that house for God. And it's got to be exceeding magnificent, because it's for God. And it became one of the seven wonders of the world. It was exceeding magnificent. Now, you and I live in the church dispensation. That is, God is building your life and my life into a temple of God. You say, well, where do you get that in the Bible, Pastor? It says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, know ye not that ye, that's you plural, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if you're not born again and you don't have the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ dwelling in you, then you don't have a fight between you and the flesh. You're basically on the side of sin and on the side of Satan. But if you're a born-again believer, then you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, and you are a disciple of Christ, but you're also part of the temple of God that he's building here. God is building a temple today. He's building a house today. And guess what? You are the house of God. I remember when our church went through our wilderness wanderings and we lost our church building. It was over on Greenridge Street. We lost it. It was like this building, a Presbyterian building, but it cost so much money to heat that we finally had to give it up. And we had wilderness wanderings, and we went and met in Hickory Street Baptist Church building. We met in Bethel Baptist Church building. That building's no longer there, Marion, the Bethel Baptist Church. You know that. Denny used to be a member there many years ago. We met in that building. We met in my house in Clark Summit for some meetings, like prayer meetings and so forth and so on. The church is not the building. The church is you. You're the building, the people. And if we lose a building, we're still the church. Born again believers, baptized by immersions. When you get saved, you should get dunked under the water and brought back up, put the uniform on, and and be a living stone that's set right into the temple of God. And we all have the Holy Spirit living in us, and He lives in us as a temple. And the Bible puts it this way. Peter says, to whom coming, speaking of Jesus, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively or living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You don't have to have a priest with a collar, a Roman priest. That guy is not even a true priest. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a true priest.
Amen.
The Spirit of God dwells in you, and that's why you can say amen, and that's why you can understand the Word of God, because you have the same Holy Spirit I do. You have the same Jesus Christ I do. You have the same Bible I do. So if I can preach, you can turn the pages. Amen. Amen. You can say amen. That's right. So say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that's because you're a lively stone. You're not a dead stone. You know what a dead stone just does? That's a dead stone. It's like you got spider webs growing from your ears all the way to the pew. No, you are lively stones. We're alive in Christ Jesus. Because I live, Jesus said, ye shall live also. I'm glad I'm alive. This is not a dead church. We don't have a dead religion. We have a living Savior. And He is at the right hand of God. And He is coming again. And He is at work in this world. And so, it's important that we understand that we are being built upon solid foundations and built together as priests and living stones of Almighty God. And so I want to look back, though, to this morning at the text, which is 1 Chronicles 22. And by the way, how many of you are reading the Bible with us all through the year? So you know this was in your reading recently. Brother Z knew that. And 1 Chronicles 22 says in verse 5, and the house, David is speaking to Solomon, he says, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord. By the way, what we're building here is not for me, for him, for the deacons. What we're building here is for the Lord. And that's why we need to all be together in church, amen, and realize that the Lord is building. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This house is to be builded for the Lord, and it must be exceeding magnificent. And the name of my message this morning is, what you build here must be exceeding magnificent. What you build here must be exceeding magnificent. And I want to say three things about that. Number one, because it must be built upon the foundation of the sacrifice upon the altar. Look at chapter 22, verse 1. It says, then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. Notice that there was an altar there. And, you know, David had sinned just before this. And what was his sin? Well, he numbered the children of Israel, and God said, I want you to put your faith in me, and you're depending upon numbers. I want you to trust me. And so he said, David, you're going to get three choices. One choice is that I will give you 3 years of famine. 3 years of famine. The second choice is I will give you, as a consequence of your sin, I will give you 3 months where you'll be defeated by your enemies in battle. And the third choice you can choose is I'll give you 3 days of a pandemic that will kill people. And David said, wow, I don't want to be put in the hands of an enemy. And he said, I'll be put into the hands of God. Give me 3 days of pandemic. And so it started. God sent an angel and he started killing people of God's people. And I believe about 70,000 people died of that pandemic in Israel. And David was so grieved about it, and he wanted to have deliverance, and he wanted to have help. And so he actually went up and saw the angel in Jerusalem that was lifting his sword and was killing people because of David's sin. And David said, I did this. Let this be on me. Not on your sheep. And God said it just kept happening. And then David came up there and he saw a man named, he saw a man there called Ornan. And he had a threshing floor there on what's called Mount Moriah, where Abraham had offered the sacrifice of his son Isaac. And that was going to be the place where God said, you can offer sacrifices to me upon an altar, and I will stop killing people. I will have the angels stand down. And David went up to Ornan and he said, I want to do this. I want to use your threshing floor. Ornan bowed down to David and David said, I want to offer sacrifices. Ornan had animals. I want to build an altar. Ornan said, look, I'll give it all to you. And David said, no, no. He said, I will not sacrifice to the Lord that which costs me nothing. I'll buy the animals. I'll buy it with silver and with gold. I'll buy the sacrifice. I'll pay for it all. And that was going to be the place where the temple of God would be built. And so David says, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. 1 Chronicles 22:24. He paid 600 shekels of gold, it says there. And then in verse 26, it says in chapter 22, and David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. So, what happened? David paid for it. He got the altar. He offered the sacrifices to God, representing sin and the animal sacrifice for sin. And God sent fire from heaven and said, yes, I'll accept this. And the angel with the sword up that was bringing death, he put the sword down and into his sheath. And the death stopped. You know, if you're going to build something that has a solid foundation, you can't build it upon the rock of Peter being the first pope. And then he gave it to another pope, who gave it to another pope. And then the pope today gives it to the parish priest through the bishops, and then to you, and you confess your sin and do some Hail Marys, and you're not going to take care of your sin that way. You can't build it on the foundation of, well, I've sinned, now I'm going to get baptized. And then get baptized again because you sin again and get baptized. My wife, when she was going to get baptized as a Southern Baptist, her brother told you, that's stupid. Don't get baptized now. Wait till you're just about dead. And then get all your sins washed away. Get baptized. You've got a lot of sinning to do. You know, you're a young person. That's not going to wash away your sin. And if you build it on the foundation, well, I hope I, you know, the good will outweigh the bad, and I'll do good to make up for the bad. And when I stand before God, you know, I'll keep doing more good and say, I'm sorry for the bad. I repent. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And then do good. And that won't take away your sin. That's a terrible foundation. You'll sink right into hell when you stand before God. You see, you need an altar with a sacrifice. And you say, Pastor, what is the altar? And what is the sacrifice to build this church on? And to build your life on? And here it is, the cross upon which the Son of God, the Savior of the world, died. And his blood was shed. And to prove that he was dead, the Roman soldier thrust a spear right up into his side, and out came blood and water, and that showed that he had truly died and went through hell to pay for the sins of any person that repents of being self-righteous, thinking, I can get there some other way. No, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And the question today is, have you transferred your trust? Have you repented of your own self-righteousness and fled from that and put all your trust in Jesus alone to save you and in the sacrifice that he gave for the world and for anybody in the world, therefore, that puts their trust in him? If that is the case, then your sin is paid for. Whenever I sin, and I do sin, I confess, I agree with God about my sin, but I also agree with God that he paid for it. And he, God, is faithful and just because he punished that sin. That's what justice is. That sin is paid for. I don't have to confess that. I don't have to get saved over and over again. And here's what the Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That means it's already been done. Jesus said it's finished. And all we need to do is receive it. All we need to do is reach up empty hands of faith and say, Lord, save me. And it's done. He saves you. It's forever. You say, where does baptism come in? It just comes in to say thank you for the gift and to show others that when Christ died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he rose, I have a new life now. And yes, you should get baptized the first thing after you get saved. But it's not till you get saved. You don't do it as a baby. No. You don't do it like my wife's brother. To get your sins washed away. And don't wash away your sin. You'll just get in water and you'll be a wet sinner. Amen. You'll just be a wet. You'll be just like some of you people on the bus. You're going to be just wet sinners. No, you need to be washed by the sacrifice on the altar of Calvary's cross. Amen. Good, good. Let those girls be right there. I'm watching those girls back there. You know, people need to repent. I was out yesterday, and a guy had been separated from his family, and I thought he was gone. I didn't know the guy was all alone. And I came to his house to talk to the family, but I knew they weren't going to be there, and I didn't think he would be there. Suddenly, I see him coming back from work on a Saturday, and he looked tired, and all of a sudden, the tears started coming out of his eyes, and I realized he's in trouble. And I said, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for your family. He said, well, I want my lady and I together to do this. She's not with me right now. I don't know if she wants to be with me. I messed up. And I said, she's not going to die with you. I said, Adam was made before Eve, and Adam was with God before he had a wife. I said, you need to have a foundation in your life. And I said, that's why I'm here. I've been praying for you. I've been praying that you would see that that's what you need for your foundation. And I told him about Jesus and his, you know, dying on the altar of the cross and having his blood shed. And he is the foundation of our salvation. I said, you need to have your sins washed away. And I said, not only that, you got a hollow place in your heart called your spirit. And you're trying to put your woman in there, trying to put somebody else in there. Listen, girls back there, you can't put fornication in there with somebody else. That's not going to make your heart satisfied. You're just going to want more fornication and more and more. And it's not going to satisfy you. It's just going to bring you down. You can't satisfy it with a job and get more work and get more money. I used to think, you know, get more work, get more money. Now, there's nothing wrong with working, but work won't satisfy that. I said, what you need... You know, drugs aren't going to do it. Alcohol, what you need, I said, is Jesus Christ. He is the only foundation. He is the center of your life. And when he's at the center of your life, you're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. I said, that's what you need. You need Jesus in your heart. And I said, are you ready? I've been praying for you. Are you ready? He said, yes, Pastor, I'm ready. And he prayed to receive Christ with me. Perhaps you're here today and you haven't had Jesus as your foundation. You've had some other foundation. And today is the day, if you're ready, the Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is it, and you should be ready because now's God's time. And you don't know if you're going to get another opportunity. And so now you need to put your faith in Jesus once and for all. He died once and for all. He said it's finished once for all. And you will get your way paid into heaven today. Right. And right now. If this house, listen to me, is going to be exceeding magnificent, we have to hold up the death of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, as the foundation, the only foundation for you to live forever and to live a life of satisfaction, a life of meaning. It has to be based on Jesus Christ and on him alone. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my Missy. Come back. He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's what that young lady needs. That's what every one of us need. But the Lord Jesus is a gentleman. He will not force you. You must decide. I want that. And there are going to be a lot of people, they're going to regret it one day. Like Esau says, he sought it carefully with tears to have another opportunity to have the blessing, but he couldn't get it. There are going to be people one day, it'll be too late. They'll acknowledge Jesus as Lord, but it'll be too late. He said, no, you didn't do it when the pastor preached to you. You didn't do it when he invited you. You didn't take the opportunity and you missed out. And so I'm just saying, if we're going to have something great that's exceedingly magnificent, we must have a rock that's not the world's rock. It must be our rock, must be Jesus. All right. Because it must be built upon the foundation of the sacrifice upon the altar, the cross. Number two, because it must be built by the Lord being with you. Here's what it says in 1 Chronicles 22:11. Now, my son, said David to Solomon, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. You see, if it's going to be exceeding magnificent, it must be what David told Solomon, the Lord be with thee, my son. I'm charging you to build the house. I'm charging, but if the Lord's not with you, you're not going to do it. The Bible says they labor in vain that try to build a house if the Lord isn't building it. I've had people try to go from this church and build something, and they're not building it with the Lord's blessing because he's not with it. I want to be sure that when I'm doing something, the Lord is with me in it. That the Lord has said, this is something I want you to do. And so I'm involved in the work of the Lord. Make sure you're involved in the work of the Lord. And that the Lord is definitely with you in what you're doing. I had a professor in college. His name was Dr. Rembert Bird Carter. He was a PhD from the University of Edinburgh, but he was a godly man. And a lot of what he said, I remembered in college. And Dr. Carter, one of the things he said, and I've mentioned it many times in this church, you know who he is. One of the things I've said many times in this church that I'm quoting him, he said, what we just need today simply is this, we need God's blessing. I know what it's like to have God's blessing. I want to have more of it. What we need is more, not less of God's blessing today. And we need to seek His blessing. I respect men of God, heroes of mine. They said, hey, I've heard about God blessing men in the past. I've read about God blessing men in the past. I don't see it in my work like I'd like to see it, like they've had it. But hey, we got the same God. We've got the same avenue of prayer through Jesus. We have the same Holy Spirit. God bless me like you bless them. When's the last time you've said that? God, I want to build something exceeding magnificent. Something that I can brag to my children about, my grandchildren about. Something that is really worthwhile for my family. And listen, you need to ask for God's blessing upon what you're doing. Jesus put it this way. He said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves, basically. And what it was, the house of God, which was the temple, the Old Testament temple, they had just made it just selfish for themselves. They weren't for God. They weren't doing it for God's glory. They were just trying to get ahead themselves. And the Lord said, you are not praying and getting God's blessing. And you know what God did with that house of God in Jerusalem? He had the Romans come down and destroy it, Jesse. In fact, Jesse, I went there in 2016. I saw these great rocks that were cast down, and that whole thing is still there as a testimony. I actually took a piece of rock and brought it home. God said, I'm going to destroy it. Can I say something? If you don't have God's blessing on your marriage, on your church, on your life, it's all going to burn. It's all coming to nothing. It's all a big waste. I don't want that. I want something, Bruce, that's going to last. Something that's going to stand the test of time. Something that's going to keep on going. I've been here 47 years, and I want the blessing of God. I want to see something built that is exceeding magnificent. And you say, what is it, Pastor? Your life. You. That's what I'm here for, you. I have people tell me, you reject this person, you reject that person. No, I'm not going to reject them. It's open. I'll work with them. It's open. Good to have you back, Missy. It's open. It's open. And it's no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. He can bless you. You know, America's being blessed right now, financially. You have not even begun to see what God's going to do for America financially. It's going to be huge. I can see it. I can smell it. But the real blessing we need is something that comes before financial blessing. The golden age of God. His presence, His power, His blessing. The fire from heaven. I have people tell me, Pastor, I go to churches and I'm not bragging. You know, I go to churches, I don't have the fire of God there. Said, when I come to my church, I know the fire of God is burning here. That's because of the altar. That's because of Jesus. That's why we have the fire of God. I'm as crooked as a dog's hind leg. I'm nothing. And so are you. It's Jesus. And he is the foundation, and his sacrifice is the foundation that you could be saved, and you could have the power and the fire of God. And so the early churches, they knew that they needed God's blessing. They knew that that's what would make America great. You know, our president has said, we want freedom of religion. We want you to have the opportunity. We want preachers to preach, and I thank God for that. But what are we going to do with it? Are we going to get God's blessing? Are we going to get God's power? Are we going to get out there and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we going to fill this house until it's totally filled and then fill it again on a Sunday morning? Amen. I'm just saying that we have the opportunity. And one of the things the early colonial church used to do, they recognized they needed God's power. They recognized they needed to see people get saved. And they would go out. Jonathan Edwards, he would go out in the fields, my friends, and he would pray with his face down to the ground. And he would stay before the Word of God for 13 hours a day. You know, you want to help in prayer, just get your Bible out. When you're reading the Psalms, read some things and then pray it to God. I was doing that today. That's what the old Puritans used to do. Read some things and pray it to God. Relate it right back to God, because he's a person. And these people got God to work. They would see the church getting hard, the church getting worldly, people going into booze and money and getting divorced and screwing up their life. And they would get apart and fast and pray to God. You know, 2020, I said it at the picnic, the church picnic. I said, 2020, we prayed every Monday and fasted, some of us, for God to take this stolen election, which they gave it to Biden, which wasn't Biden. They gave it to a group of people that were wicked, that were we prayed, God, put the real president back in. And finally, we stopped praying. I said, God's heard us. You know, we've been praying in fact. And not till 4 years later, God put him in. But I'm just saying to you, you and I need to pray for a golden age of revival that God would bless. And I mentioned that on the 4th of July picnic. And you know, Solomon built the temple, and then he had a son by the name of Rehoboam. And Rehoboam turned away from prayer. He turned away from God and from God's blessing. And what happened was Egypt came down and took all the gold that Solomon had in the form of golden shields. How many of you been to Williamsburg and seen all those golden shields in the governor's palace? Yeah, Solomon had real solid golden shields that signified God's blessing. That's what we need. Solomon had it because of David. But Rehoboam, his son, he turned away from it. And so Egypt came down, and Shishak came down, the head of Egypt, and took all those golden shields. And Rehoboam said, oh, this doesn't look as good as it used to. We need to have it look like it used to look. And so what did he do? He put brass shields up to imitate the golden shields. But do you know gold stands for God's blessing? Do you know what brass stands for? God's judgment. God's judgment. So Rehoboam was saying, without realizing it, these golden shields that make me look like my dad, Solomon, actually, no, they're not. They're imitations, and they stand for God's judgment is upon you. You know, there are believers in churches where God has removed his blessing. The glory has departed. You know, I preached at the church picnic, the 4th of July picnic, and Brother Bob said to me in private as we were talking after I preached my first message. I preached two messages, one at the bonfire and one earlier. But when I preached the first one, he said, Pastor, what do you think is next for America. You know, we've been praying for these things. God put Trump in. We're seeing all these industry is coming in. Now the stock market is going up and all these things are happening that are good. You know, the big beautiful bill and the taxes on tips and overtime. Now we don't have that. All these good things are happening. What do you think is next? I said, Bob, I think next is judgment. I said, I used to think that God was going to judge America right away. But I said, I believe God is judging the systems of evil over America. And I heard Donald Trump, I told him this, I heard Donald Trump say, you know, I got elected, God blessed and brought me back. This is good for me in America. But we can never let this happen again to future generations where they'll steal because it's a Marxist communist revolution. This is war. And Hillary and Obama, and they were at war. And here's what I told Brother Bob, and I'll tell it to you, what I believe is coming. And this will be God's blessing on America. Because just like if you have cancer and it gets taken off you, that's but I said, Brennan, Clapper, and Comey, CIA, FBI, you know, those directors of those agencies, the alphabet agencies that are run by globalist, communist, I believe those men are going to be brought to justice for treason or whatever crimes they're found guilty, and they're plenty guilty. You take an older man like Clapper, I think it's Clapper, he's in his 80s. You take him for a long ride, and he'll sing like a canary. That's right, he don't want to be in jail for the rest of his life. You need to pray for that. That they take Clapper, Brennan, and Comey. Remember that tall drink of water, that FBI director? Corrupt man. Wickedness. Un-American, un-democratic, unconstitutional. They took the power. And I'm just saying to you, I told Brother Bob, I believe that's what's going to happen. And there's going to be a new birth of freedom for a time. I don't know how much longer we have, but this is God's blessing. What are you going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? We have the opportunity to use that. And so what must you build here? What must you build that's so it's exceeding magnifical? You must build something on the foundation of the sacrifice of the altar, Christ. You must build it by the Lord being with you. 1 Chronicles 22:11. And lastly, because it must be built in spite of trouble that will surely come. Let me read verse 14, 1 Chronicles 22. Now behold, David said, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000, that's 1,000,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. David's saying, look, I spared nothing. David didn't try to take it all with him, amen? I haven't seen any hearses with U-Hauls going to the grave. No, he used it to build something, a house for God. Do something that you'll leave behind you. I don't know about you, but I said, my wife, she's such a great lady. She's a great lady. I have had a great wife. And it's not over yet, but, you know, we've been married, how many, 52 years. Amen. 52 years. Yeah, amen. Amen and amen. 52 years. That's good. Amen. And I've had a great wife. It's the greatest gift next to salvation is the woman that God gives you if you get the right wife. I got the right wife. And I was thinking this year, she had this terrible pain that was the worst pain she's ever had in her life. And it went down her leg. It was horrible. And she went through all of this. And finally, we found out what it was. It was her back. And that was causing pain in her nerve, her sciatic. And she needed back surgery. and we got her the back surgery. All said and done, it cost about $272,000 to get the surgeries and the treatment that she wound up getting. And it's all paid for. God helped us. Insurance. Insurance. And then we paid the rest. But I see my wife and how she worked and worked and worked and worked. And we had that 4th of July picnic at our house for decades. And I said, can't do it this year. Time to pass the baton to the younger generation. And I believe the choice for that was Angela Bajeski to take over. And Bobby Bajeski. And I want to tell you, that picnic was exceeding magnificent. Exceeding magnificent. And we prayed for good weather. I must confess, brother, I had doubts. What if it rains? But we prayed for good weather. That weather was so perfect. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. In northeastern Pennsylvania, not one cloud in the sky. Here I'm riding. Bob gave me a ride in his Z, what's that called? What's that? E-Ray. 2025 Corvette E-Ray with a huge spoiler on the back. I got in that thing and it goes. And he goes. Four gears. He said, Pastor, I want to give you a ride. 0 to 60, the fastest car in the world from 0 to 60. He said, they're coming up with another one that's going to beat it, but not yet. It's not out there. My face was like, nah, nah. But what an exceeding magnificent car, property. But I got a kick out of it. When I was there in that beautiful property, thinking this is exceeding magnificent, everything was the same. And there was Mrs. Bajeski out there with the egg toss and doing the balloon toss. And I'm sitting next to Brother Bob, and then Bob had the fire. Oh man, what a fire pit they built, and it was just beautiful. I'm sitting next to Brother Bob, and we're sitting there, and I'm looking at his wife doing that. I said, thank God for the wife God's given you. You are blessed. I said, I know, because I've had that kind of woman that worked hard to help me. And I said, look what she's doing. And that guy works hard too. And my mother, as I said, 4th of July, I said, my mother would say, all this in heaven too? All this in heaven too? But I say they're using it for the Lord. They're using it for the Lord. Now you say, why do you mention all that? Well, I have a purpose. Notice what David said. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord. You know, Solomon got riches and blessing. He was a man of peace, but David saw a lot of trouble in his life. But whether you have my church picnic or Bob and Angela had the church picnic at their house, we still have the same devil. We still have the same trouble. And I would say to Bob and Angela, and I have said it, that when you take on this ministry, and that's what it is, you're gonna experience opposition and trouble. And I like what Dr. Carter told us. He quoted the Bible. He said, you want to claim a verse from the Bible? You want to claim a promise? Here's one. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And there was this godly family. They had the pastor preach just like I always did. We had Brother Jose led the patriotic songs. We had the speaker there at the bonfire. I got to preach again. We had some testimonies. Brother Joe shared, Brother Jose shared, and it was a historic picnic because it was the first one after the president got elected, and you were there to witness it. It's a big event in the history of this church. Make no mistake. Awilda got there with Benji. It was good to see them there as well. I was glad to bring my friend Roberto Rivera. I don't see him back there. Where's Roberto? He's gone. But he was there all day. He was there from 2 o'clock all the way up to the end. Our daughter was there and her family. She's on her way back to Missouri now. But I'm just saying to you that when you do God's work God's way, you will have the devil attack you. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And these people, they're welcoming all these people in. And it's a challenge. Our church picnic started as a family picnic. And then it became a church picnic and a family picnic. And now it's their family picnic, but a church picnic. And it's going on. But I'm just saying, if you're going to be part of building something that's exceeding magnificent, don't let a little opposition stop you. Just keep a good heart. Be able to explain yourself. And stay with it. And you know what? Over time, God will bless. Because the Bible says in Proverbs, a faithful man will abound with blessing. But it doesn't happen get rich quick. Bob and Angela, they lived, you know, in tough situations. But they worked hard. You're not going to be get rich quick. It's over time. God blesses. Spiritually, physically. So I'm saying this morning, and I'll tie it up right now, wrap it up right now. I believe that the message for you is what you build here in your life, in this church, listen to me, must be exceeding magnificent, and the Lord will reward it, or the Lord will take away the reward, depending on how you treat it. It must be exceeding magnificent. Joe, I know you like that phrase. Exceeding magnificent, because it must be built upon the foundation of the sacrifice of Jesus. Number two, because it must be built by the Lord blessing you. And number three, because it must be built in spite of trouble that will surely come to you and you must endure it and go through it. But let's build something that's exceeding magnificent. Let's bow for prayer. As your head is bowed for prayer,